God, whereby as a result, a saint becomes more and more different from the unregenerated world. Is not motivated by its precepts or governed by its customs. It's not only right doing, sit right, eat right, pray right, all those kinds of things, but even more so, it's right thinking. Holiness begins on the inside. And even more, right motivation. If you love me, keep my... This is a matter of love driving you to it. Oh, what a weariness. Can't touch this, can't do that, can't see this, can't say that. Well, if you have that approach, I don't know how pleasing it is to God anyway. Not that we shouldn't be holy, but that we should have the right motive for it. We've tasted of God. We've had fellowship with God and love Him and want to do Him right and know Him more. So, four questions. Why do I have to be holy? How do I become holy? Who could stop me? What can keep me going? Why do I have to be holy? Well, if there's a lesson I heard this morning, it's this. It's not so that I'll be happy. Right? That's not the goal. I want to be happy. Okay, I'll be holy so I can be happy. That's not the goal. It's because God said to be holy. Holiness is right. All else is wrong. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or behavior, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1, 15-16. This answer is enough, right? That's enough. That's it. But God has graciously provided additional information on why we should be holy. Let's first note there are two kinds of holiness. What are the two kinds? Somebody want to tell me? Positional and practical. Concerning positional holiness, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In our position in Christ, we're already seen from heaven as perfectly holy. That's why we come right into the very presence of God, not based on any practical holiness we got going on where we stop smoking or we stop cursing or we read this much of the Bible every day. None of that's going to get us into the presence of God. But we have been made, we have been given the very righteousness of Christ. When we approach the throne, we have as much right to be in the presence of God as Jesus Himself, positionally, and that His very holiness has been applied to our life in position. So that preposition is in. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:21, where He hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Note this, as much as Jesus became sin, so much has the believer been made righteous. 100% in both cases. In Him, our position in Him. Now concerning practical holiness, besides the fact that God has commanded us to be holy in all conversation, here are three more reasons. One is to grow in fellowship with God, as Jenny mentioned. There's the verse, John 14:21. I was a key verse, an anchor verse, young men, young ladies, sons and daughters, all of us. The key verse for understanding why we live the way we live. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Keep, the verb means sort of like guards, protects them, considers them precious. Don't let any of them fall to the ground, so to speak, or get soiled or get confused or abused. You are a protector of these commandments. You are to know them backwards and forward and their nuances and how they apply and how they don't apply and the motive behind them. You become an expert in keeping the commandments. You've got them, you keep them, and that's the person who truly loves God. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Reveal myself. I'll draw back the curtains and have fellowship with that. That's such a rare person. The eyes of the one to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of him whose heart is perfect toward him. Oh, Solomon said, try to find one man in 1,000. And even fewer, he said, of women he has found. Sorry, that's just what he said. He said, but in any case, how rare is it to find somebody who's been given the grace of God, acting on it, proceeding, where you love God, love his commandments, keep his commandments. It's not that God does not love others. I think this is a special manifestation, expression, intensity of love. And he'll manifest himself to them. That's what we want if we're going to have good testimony. So why be holy in all our behavior? We say, one, to grow in fellowship with God. You hear this, friends? You can have sweeter fellowship with God. There's more to be attained than where you are right now. It's true of all of us. And we're not saying we earn it. Well, if I do this, this, and this, then I go up a notch in my fellowship with God range. I don't know how to explain it in a way that doesn't sound methodical and ritualistic, but it's not. And I think the more you and I pursue godliness, the more we'll learn what this looks like. I said to Carol again last night after a long day, and we had some great discussions. I said to her, still, I think one of the best sermons I heard was that one by Jim Logan many years ago we heard down in Knoxville. And he just built us up to say that you can capture the heart of the Christian life in a family in two words. And you know what he said they were? Nothing works. Oh, yeah, you tried this and tried that and tried these things and you learn through them all. And it's a limited application. It's a humorous thing. He's just saying don't be over certain that if you just did this with the kids or did that with the family or made this choice, then your life would be la, la, la. Satan is so difficult in the flesh, so weak and devices. I don't know if I'm expressing this right, but I think at the heart of it is to collapse before God and say, I just need your grace. Just to say nothing, no device I have embraced in the Roman numeral outline for has worked like that poor man who smote his breast and wouldn't even lift up his eyes to God and just said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But we can grow. It is, and I tell you what, there are few things possible that anybody here could choose to do that would be more service to the rest of the church than to grow in fellowship with God. Right? I really believe that is true. It'd be a one, because the Bible says that we are to consider one another how to provoke unto love and good works. You want to call forth love and good works out of others? Grow in your with God in a way that it's observable to others and they inquire a reason of the hope that is in you. And you explain what you do know. Number two, why be holy in all our behavior? To have God show himself strong through us. I mean, a lot of people claiming to be Christians live a pretty well defeated life. You know, they may admit it publicly. They may grieve over it privately. I'm not in any way implying or judging anybody here as far as your particular situation, but I'm sure many of you have seen in practice, it's true that surely there's a whole lot more power out there that have not been found and personally channeled into this soul. I mean, the power of God. We were talking Wednesday night, a couple of you have shared this with, the power of the universe, the Lord who can do most amazing things. We looked at a star, which in English, I believe, is called Big Dog. That has, anybody remember how many Earths you can put inside that star? 7 quadrillion Earths going that fit into one star. Now that's, a quadrillion is 1,000 trillions. So that's 7,000 trillion Earths. That's a very, very big number. But that's the God who says, I have availed myself, my power to you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's all attainable. But it's not going to be attained, it's not going to be achieved by half-hearted efforts or just something a little better than others. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it'd be unwise to compare yourself with other people. We must compare ourselves with the Lord. Anyway, why be holy in all our behavior? To have God show himself strong through us. See the strength of God coming through you, that you broke this habit, that you said these things, you have that courage, you stay devoted to this disciplined life through your years. Again, 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Show himself strong. He's looking to show himself strong. Psalm 4:6. We have that on a plaque here in this church. There be many, David says. He's heard this again and again and again. Who will show us any good? Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap for us. Who will show us any good? And David says, here's how it can happen. You lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. For our face, but our, you know, I used to pray that for us as a church, that God would just call our faces to glow like Moses. But I think that brightness of the eyes that rejoices the heart is a consequence of holy living. It's not without investment on our part and having the power of God work through us. I hesitate saying any of this because I don't mean to be axiomatic. Again, ultimately, I think it's again falling down at the feet of the Lord and say, help. But there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. So why be holy in our behavior? First, because God said to. Then we said, to grow in fellowship with God, to have God show himself strong through us. And then thirdly, to show a sin-blinded world what God is like. So you all gave all the answers I wanted to present. To show a sin-blinded world what God is like. People look at the way some quote-unquote Christians live, and it's not very winsome. It's goofy or inconsistent or weak or deceived or frustrating. Well, I hope that's not true with us as a church or us as a family or us as individuals. Rise up and show a sin-blinded world what God is like. How? By dying to self and let God live through us. But show a sin-blinded world what God is like. In speech, we're to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Our speech is supposed to be, as it were, seasoned with salt. This is one way we reflect what is true about God. Do all things without grumbling and complaining, that you may be blameless and harmless, evidently the sons of God. So that's what a child of God is like. He won't complain about this. She won't whine about that. She won't ensure or support people who do complain about, oh, bugs this and prices that and da-da-da. But they're prepared and to speak the way God would speak in response. Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation who's got it all wrong, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How do you reflect what's true about God? In your speech. It is speech by speech that God made this world into existence. It is by speech that Adam's got this world into identity. Tremendous power in your speech. Secondly, by works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. How do they know what God is like? Watch me work. A Christian wouldn't quite boast it like that, but watch him work. Watch the faithfulness, the diligence, the high standard, the self-denial, the love that drives it. This is what God is like. He has a certain way that he works. You're reflecting what is true about your Father when you let your light so shine that people see your good works. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We show people what God is like in love.